From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast Day M, and here's what's happening. My oh my, what is going on in Iran? Iran's supreme leader, the Ayatollah there, Ali Khamenei, says that Iran is set to deliver some kind of a punch that will stun world powers during this week's 31st anniversary of the Islamic Revolution. The country's top cleric was marking the occasion when Iran's Air Force gave its support to revolutionary leader Ayatollah Khomeini, a key event, which led to the toppling of the U.S.-backed Shah. That was back in February 11th of 1979. His reported comments now came as Iran said it would begin to produce higher enriched uranium as well, in defiance of Western powers trying to ensure the country's nuclear drive is peaceful. Last hour of the program tonight, Douglas Hagman from Homeland Security U.S. reacts about what this stunning punch is supposed to be. Michael Jackson's doctor has been taken into custody, being held on $75,000 bail after pleading not guilty to causing the pop star's death. Dr. Conrad Murray, a Houston cardiologist who was with Jackson when he died June 25th, entered his plea in Los Angeles Superior Court just a few hours after he was charged with involuntary manslaughter, as we reported last night. Superior Court Judge Keith Schwartz set Murray's bail at the $75,000 level, three times more than what most people are charged with involuntary manslaughter face. Prosecutors had been seeking $300,000 bail for Murray, who was then taken into custody by sheriff's deputies but not handcuffed in public. The judge told Murray when he posts bail, he may travel throughout the United States, but may not leave the country and must surrender his passport. Bad news for Toyota. They are now recalling 170,000 Prius hybrid cars in Japan for braking problems and will soon disclose details of its global plans for a fix. The automaker will hold a news conference at its Tokyo office on Tuesday to outline details of the braking problem, including plans for a possible recall in the United States. Toyota said it will inform the Japanese Transport Ministry later in the day that it is recalling these Prius, the gas-electric hybrids. The braking problem for the third-generation remodeled Prius is now the latest safety woe for Toyota, which is already trying to fix problems in millions of vehicles recalled for other defects, including a sticky gas pedal. And Toyota dealers in five southeastern U.S. states have pulled their ads from local ABC television affiliates over complaints about the coverage of the automaker's recalls. The advertising agency representing the 173 dealers told the affiliates last week that the move was prompted by excessive stories on the Toyota issues. My point is, if you had nice cars that worked, you wouldn't get that kind of excessive coverage. A U.S. soldier has been accused of holding his four-year-old daughter's head underwater because she simply would not recite her ABCs. He's been charged with second-degree assault of a child and is set to appear in court in another week. Enceladus, the moon of Saturn. It apparently now hides a large body of liquid water beneath its icy skin. The Cassini probe, which periodically sweeps past this little moon, has returned yet more data to back up the idea of a subsurface sea. It's incredible. I think they're going to find water on just about every object. A betting website, by the way, in Ireland, where gambling is legal, reports that lots of bets are now being placed on alien life being discovered in the next 3 years. And after some photos of a UFO flying across Dublin were taken on New Year's Day, the odds on aliens, they say, landing anywhere in the world before 2013 have now gone from 500 to 1 to just 100 to 1. You going to take that bet? And for its 20th year, USA Today has conducted its Super Bowl ad meter. If you watch the Super Bowl, you probably watch the commercials. It's a live rating system that gets viewers' impressions in real time on game day. And for the first time, the Snickers commercial featuring legendary actress Betty White grabbed the number one spot. White is pummeled by 20-something football players in the commercial. Actor Abe Vigoda also gets knocked off his feet by the young players in the ad. So everybody liked that one. And also the number two spot was seized by an amateur ad man, Joshua Swoboda, a 24-year-old from Raleigh, North Carolina. Now, every year for the past few years, Doritos has asked regular consumers to create ads and then submit them to their website. Svoboda's ad shows a dog putting his dog collar around his master's neck that shocks him and allows him to get into a bag of Doritos. Svoboda won $600,000 because the ad ranked second on this USA Today ad meter. If it had ranked number one, he would have won $1 million. He spent $200 making the advertisement. Amazing. This email in from Joe. I've got to share this with you. George, I wanted to thank you for placing me on your prayer list. Two-thirds of my heart was shut down. I was lucky to be alive. On January 5th, the Cleveland Clinic called me with a heart for transplant. They put in the new heart on January 5th, but it didn't work. They put me on life support machines, and the doctor decided to try one last thing with the heart. He went in, flushed it out, and massaged it by hand, and miraculously it began to work. It's been 33 days and counting, and I'm already home with my girls. I just wanted to thank all the Coast to Coast listeners and Prayer Line members for their prayers. Love and prayers are what made the difference, even when I was between worlds. He gave us his phone number. I'm going to try to have Tom get him on one of our open line shows, maybe even this Friday. It's an incredible story. And those of you probably don't know the name of Frank Magid. He's the chairman and founder of the Frank N. Magid Associates Company. They were based in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. They are in Los Angeles. They've got offices in New York. They're all over the place. He died at the age of 78 of lymphoma. What is so special about Frank Magid is this. He was an expert in human behavior. He had a research company, and he decided a very long time ago to apply it to businesses and to the media companies. And he did. And he was probably one of those only people responsible in great numbers for changing the face of so many things on television. Through his research, he's very innovative, but he changed the face of local news. He recommended to CBS that Walter Cronkite be the sole anchor person. He helped ABC develop its Good Morning America show. And when I was 28 years old, I sent him a letter when I was a news director in Minneapolis for a TV station because I was just fascinated with what he did. And he took that letter and he walked it over to Stanley S. Hubbard over there at Hubbard Broadcasting, which owns KSTP Television, and the station we're on with Coast to Coast, KSTP AM. And he gave him the letter and Stanley called me up and he hired me over there. And it's been an interesting relationship ever since. But Frank Magid, dead at the age of 78 years old, who touched so many things in broadcasting, and not a lot of people know him. He'll be missed. Up next, there is a doctor who has had patients who are complaining about voices in their heads. So he started checking into it. And Dr. John Hall is now convinced that there's much more going on. Up next, his work, A New Breed, Satellite Terrorism in America. That's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Dr. John Hall, medical doctor in San Antonio, Texas, author of the book I'm holding in my hand, but you can't see it yet, A New Breed, Satellite Terrorism in America. He is an active member of the Mind Science Foundation, dedicated to the study of human consciousness. He sits on the medical committee of the human rights organization, Freedom from Covert Harassment and Surveillance. You are going to love this program tonight. Here's Dr. John Hall. John, how are you?
I got really good, George. I'd just like to tell you I'm a big fan of the show, and I'm really honored to be on, and I'm glad you're helping expose this problem.
Oh, this is incredible. I can't put your book down, John. I've read it twice already, and it's scary, it's informative, and I've got to ask you just to start, how did this all start for you? I know your doctor, and I know some patients started coming to you. Was that what happened?
Partially that, and partially it's a personal story. I was in a relationship with a woman began getting stalked, started with stalking, and we had noticed people following her to and from my home, me following me to and from her home. Then she began having conversations with people that weren't there, and being drugged with Rohypnol, a date rape drug, and raped by people that were breaking into her condominium. Started writing down the plate numbers of the stalkers, and they all traced back to a private investigative service owned by a former FBI guy and some of his relatives, some of which were former members of the Department of Defense. So did a little checking into what was going on with her. She had been, no evidence of mental illness in the past or anything like that. Started checking into what technologies could do this. I'd heard a little bit about satellite surveillance in the past, and luckily have some friends in the intelligence business, and spoke to a friend on the FBI and the CIA to verify some of the technology, and since it seemed to be following her everywhere. And indeed, they said, yeah, I mean, we do have technology on satellite that can use X-ray imaging to see you indoors, and there are directed energy weapons on it to attack you with, and as well as some audio harassment tools, two of which we found out about being what you've covered on your show before, which is voice to skull. I know I've heard some other people that you've had on mention having voice to skull. Some people think they're, hearing the voice of God. I remember hearing one of your guests say that she went for a couple of months thinking that she had been anointed or suddenly become a prophet before somebody explained to her she was being harassed.
Harassed, absolutely. And well, in your particular case with your girlfriend at the time, why her? What did they want with her?
It was in our case, it was purely sexual assault based. Now, in other victims that I've spoken with and that we've interviewed, there's a lot of reasons. Some people are whistleblowers. Some people are what we like to call social outliers, possibly people that have had some drug problems that are easily discredited anyway. By their lifestyle, they've slightly discredited themselves. So when this starts to happen to them, nobody listens.
Jeez, it's frightening. How long has it been going on, John, all over the place?
I know most of the victims I've talked to, including several people here in San Antonio, that's been going on for over a decade. Probably one of the earliest reports that I've gotten was from one victim that was in a motorcycle accident, was taken to UC Davis in 1981, and his problem started after being released from the hospital. And that included not only directed energy attacks, but stalking, as well as hearing voices.
In her case, was there a point where you said to yourself, well, there's something wrong with her. I've got to get her some help.
Well, and that's one of the problems with this. This technology was obviously developed to simulate mental illness or delusional disorder or schizophrenia. That's one of the things that we're... myself and several other doctors, PhDs that are looking into this, are trying to develop some criteria for distinguishing between true mental illness and someone who's being victimized. And that's been very hard to do because, as you know, mental illness does exist.
It is real. That's right.
And schizophrenics and certain people with certain delusions, auditory delusions, will hear voices. Now, the biggest difference that I've seen is that most schizophrenics will tell you the voices they hear kind of sound like garbled voices in a subway, multiple voices. The voices that these victims hear are usually very clear, very distinct, sometimes multiple people talking not only to them but to each other, sometimes using their real names. Sometimes the victims know the names of the people that are doing the watching, because it's obviously surveillance combined with attack.
And are they being attacked 24/7, John?
A lot of the people are being attacked 24/7. It seems like some of the goal of the attack is to keep people up 24 hours a day, sleep deprivation, which is one of the other reasons that we're looking at this as possible, possibly being some form of government experimentation.
I was going to ask you that. It sounds like that they may be, picking people and then just testing them.
That's almost what it seems like, because it's really random. And we've done, through Freedom from Covert Surveillance and Harassment, the human rights organization, we've done some pretty extensive surveys to try to get the demographics on the population that's being attacked. 70% are women. Most of those women are between 35 and 50, either divorced or single and living alone. So there seems to be a large sexual assault component to it.
They're trying to take advantage of them, or what, with that?
It appears to be that. A lot of people that are being victimized have gotten on the wrong side of a large attorney group. There's often PIs involved. It appears that this may be getting networked through large law firms or private investigative groups. I've spoken to a lot of victims in a lot of different states that have either had PIs following them around doing the stalking or have been in some legal problems with usually a very large law firm.
Interesting. Now, this is going on in a number of states?
From the surveys that we've taken and from the people that I've interviewed, it's going on in every state pretty much except for a couple of like North Dakota and South Dakota, some of the less populated states, and I think that's just a reflection of the population of the state. But what we found are the four biggies are California, Texas, Florida, and New York City.
What about worldwide? Is this a problem?
It is a global problem. I've been contacted by people from India, from Ireland, England, France, Spain, China has a large population of it. So it is a global problem as well, which, you know, kind of, I mean, you know, you've done a lot of shows on one world government and new world order. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's kind of what it's looking like this might be a excellent tool for actually instilling a new world order or one world government, because you can only control people with guns and taxes, you know, to some extent. Guns won't control a lot of people and taxes miss a lot of people. But this type of a weapon will get everyone.
What is the position of your colleagues in the medical community to this?
And then that's the other sad thing, George. You know, as physicians, we take a Hippocratic oath to do no harm and to try to help others. And, you know, the position of the American Medical Association, most of the medical establishment is right now there's not even an admission that directed energies weapons are in existence. And we've seen two of those in use in the public already. The active denial system that the Army has is a millimeter wave weapon that burns the skin at a distance using a microwave energy type of thing. They've had that on 60 Minutes and have attacked a reporter with it to demonstrate. And the LRAD, which is a long-range acoustic device, which by definition is a directed energy weapon, has been used in Pittsburgh at the G20 summit and in San Diego.
This is frightening. This is absolutely frightening. I mean, we're going to get into your thoughts on what people can do about this. I mean, I think it was Roger Tulsis, who was my guest, who was telling us about these beams into people, where some people actually think, John, that their neighbors are doing this to them.
That is what it's apparently geared to do. Now, I'm not saying neighbors aren't involved. A lot of times in situations, in our situation in San Antonio, there were some neighbors involved in the stalking aspect of it. But I think what the technology really is geared to do is to make you, when you start hearing the whispering voices that sound like they're talking to you or about you, a lot of times they sound like they're on the other side of the wall or outside the window. So you do start to think it's your neighbors. And I think it's really geared for you to do something stupid to your neighbors to seal your fate as far as a psychiatric diagnosis.
God, that would drive me crazy. I mean, I know when one thinks, you know, in our moment of solace, okay, we sit back. Whoever we are, we can hear that voice of us in our heads, you know, like, you know, George, let's do this today. Let's go here, you know, turn right. We hear a voice in our head whenever we think. Man, if it's actually somebody beaming this into our brains, I mean, that's got to drive people insane, John.
Well, and that seems to be what it's doing. And you're right. I mean, that's one of the things when we talk to some of these victims, self-realization of thought, the little voice you hear in your head. We try to get people to distinguish between what you hear when you say, like you say, when you read a book, you hear your own voice as you read the sentences. And we try to get them to differentiate between that and the voices that may be being put there in a similar tone to their own voice. Because what happens is when those voices are put there in a similar tone, then that becomes a thought, and you will act on those thoughts, and that is a mechanism of control.
For them, whoever they may be, to do this, they've also have to have some knowledge, I think, of the brain, of psychiatry, don't you think?
Yeah, and that kind of brings us to another topic, that's like a psychiatric problem, is if you look throughout most of the research on this type of technology and behavioral and mind control, starting with MKUltra, psychiatrists have been at the forefront of the problem, and there's plenty of literature out there. There's been information from Freedom of Information Act on microwave hearing, where we now do have technology to put voices in the head, and the psychiatric community seems to be ignoring that. If you go to a psychiatrist and you're hearing something that they don't hear, then you almost get a turnkey diagnosis of delusional disorder. They do not bother looking at any of the resources that you might bring in to show them. And we're hoping to change that through some of our activism through the organization.
And then they, of course, slap you with drugs as well. John, stay with us. We're going to come right back in a moment. Our guest tonight, Dr. John Hall, his work, it's called A New Breed, Satellite Terrorism in America. We'll get into some of this technology that may be used against us when we come right back. Well, for pennies a day, you can sign up for Streamlink by going to coasttocoastam.com. Podcasts, past archived programs, special downloads, and just some darn fun. Streamlink, part of Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast with our guest tonight, Dr. John Hall, as we talk about A New Breed, his work, Satellite Terrorism in America. John, we were talking about this, the role of psychology in all of this, and let's pick it up from there. So what are the colleagues saying about this?
Well, as I was saying, you know, most physicians don't recognize this as a victimization. You know, psychiatrists especially, is eventually if you start telling people you're hearing voices of people surveilling you and that you're being attacked with weapons that you can't see, you can surmise that the next step that they're going to have for you is in front of a psychiatrist. The psychiatric community doesn't even bother looking at any of the research that's been coming out in mind science especially. They basically give you a turnkey diagnosis of delusional disorder. The reason for delusional disorder is most of these victims that we're finding, the people that are being exposed to this are in between 35 and older. Schizophrenia in males and females usually starts at a fairly early age, so that really puts them out of the age range of getting a schizophrenic diagnosis. However, delusional disorder usually starts in the 40s, and most of these victims are in their 40s or older, so they wind up getting a diagnosis of delusional disorder. By definition, that's believing that non-bizarre events are happening to you, you know, usually without hallucinations and without memory loss by definition. Now, the weird thing is, if you look at the CDC and the National Institutes of Mental Health, delusional disorder in our country has about a 0.03% rate of the population. Now, we've got over 1,000 members in Freedom from Covert Surveillance and Harassment. There's a handful of other organizations that have an equal number of membership. You know, if this is delusional disorder, then they've all come together in organizations voicing the same delusion. And to me, that just statistically tells me that there's something else going on besides a mental illness.
If some people try to shield themselves from this, will it work?
Yeah, I think we've all seen the tinfoil hat people.
Yeah, I know you think there's something wrong with them, but they may be the smart ones.
Yeah, well, it's a good attempt, but and that's the bad thing about this technology. George, there's no escaping it. Nothing shields it. The directed energy weapons, and when I say directed energy, we're talking about, as it was explained to me by a CIA agent, we're talking about particle beam, ultrasound, microwave, and laser. There are some things you can do to shield from that, you know, Mylar, copper screening, there's various things you can do, and a lot of that's online. However, the audio harassment, from what I've seen, there's two forms of it. There's voice to skull, which is the microwave hearing effect, or the Frey effect, which is communications being beamed directly into the head via microwave. And that doesn't work through bone or air conduction in the normal auditory system. It works by thermovestibular expansion. The microwave heats up the workings of the inner ear, you might say, and causes a waveform to go through that you perceive as sound. Now, the other way that people hear the audio harassment is not in the head, but in things that vibrate around them, and that's ELF wave audio harassment, where basically they blanket your home with extremely low frequency wave. Anything that vibrates, running water, ceiling fans, aquariums, anything with the slightest bit of vibration will finish amplifying that sound in a frequency that's usually specific for the targeted individual to hear. And those people will tell you that, well, it seems like they follow me all around my house and I hear them in every room I go to. Well, that's because the whole house is blanketed with it. Every room you go to, there's going to be something there that will carry sound.
Oh, amazing. How many people are we talking about here? How many victims? I know this is an estimate for sure.
Well, I've easily probably not talked to personally, but either had emails or heard stories of several thousand in the United States and thousands more globally. So it's a fairly large problem, and that's why I was saying that for each one of these victims to see a psychiatrist in their hometown and be diagnosed as delusional disorder, when the whole syndrome only has a 0.03% in the population, is just not feasible. I mean, what would be the chances of every person in that 0.03% of the population that's delusional coming to an organization asking for help?
Yeah.
With a problem. It's the statistics don't work it out that way.
So it's easier. Prescribe some drugs and that's it.
Yeah, and that's the other problem is, you know, a lot of these victims have wound up in the hands of a psychiatrist. They have been put on psychoactive medication, and they're still being attacked, and they're still hearing the voices. I had one victim who actually was, didn't talk to him personally, but I read his testimony. He was in training to be a physician, and this started happening to him in residency. It kept him from getting his medical license, and he went as far as having in-house treatment, psychiatric treatment. And his big complaint was, he said, they focused on the fact that I was hearing voices, which he described, you know, hearing what sounded like my neighbors at the window or somebody in the distance, but the conversation was directed at me. And his big complaint was they focused on the hearing of the voices. Not one of the doctors ever asked him, what are the voices saying? And I think that may end up being one of the discriminators that we can use to tell the difference between harassment and mental illness, is when the people that are being harassed, the voices are directed completely to you. They're talking about where you're at in your location of a room. They're using their names back and forth with each other in conversation when they're not watching you. It's a little bit different, a subtle difference from what you hear about in schizophrenics.
Tell me a little bit about the subtitle of your book, A New Breed. You say satellite terrorism in America. What do we mean here?
Well, in talking to the FBI and the CIA people that I know, and some Army and Air Force intelligence people, I basically presented this as a lot of it being satellite-based. Now, I know there are other theories. Some people are claiming that this is all being done by the stalkers themselves with handheld directed energy weapons. I don't buy into that a whole lot, because if you look at the active denial system that shoots microwave for the Army, that's based on a Humvee platform. It's basically a satellite dish on a Humvee. They are working on some handheld equipment that does the same thing, but it's bulky. A lot of the people in Texas especially, you know, we live in big areas in Texas, and a lot of the victims I've spoken with are on, you know, 5, 10, 100 acres. They don't have neighbors directly around them. There's nobody at their window or shooting anything at them through the wall. So that's one of the reasons that I basically went with what I was told by intelligence people, that yes, we do currently have the technology to do this to you via satellite. One of the other theories is HARP, and I know you've had Nick Begich, you know, who wrote a great book on HARP, and that's another theory, and that's another probably plausible theory, and I would say it may even end up being a combination of both, but I'm fairly certain what it's not is your neighbor using a microwave oven with a funnel in it that's been converted to a weapon, like you see on a lot of websites.
How do they hone in, John, on the individual? How do they find that person?
Well, that's another area that we're doing some research on. Most people that experience this assume that they have a chip in them. We have scanned people, and I have found chips in people. I have several MRIs at my office that people have sent me that indeed there is something that looks like a very chip-type chip in them. Some people are thinking it may be nanotechnology that's used to do the tracking. A lot of the research is pointing toward EEG recognition. Each person has a different EEG fingerprint or brain fingerprint, if you will. And by remotely detecting that EEG, you can actually pick George Norrie out of a crowd of 1,000 based on his EEG.
That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. Are they doing this with do they ever stop on the individual, or they keep at it?
I have talked to some people where they have stopped, or it becomes less frequent. That more than likely is just them moving on to another target. this seems to be getting networked from state to state. This isn't one place in the United States that's victimizing everyone in the country. This is being done on a statewide basis, almost as if every state has a criminal organization who's been given access to this technology, and they also have boots on the ground, you might say, people that they hire to actually do the stalking, which is part of a psychological warfare. The stalking is basically to let you know we can break into your house whenever we want to and put you in a victim mentality. So it's, you know, that's the way it seems to be getting done.
Tell me about the Freedom from Covert Harassment Surveillance Group.
That's a human rights organization, and I strongly suggest anybody that's experienced anything like this, if you feel like you're being attacked with directed energy, some of the symptoms are, you know, severe headache that you can tell is coming from the outside, burning, twitching, involuntary muscle movement, burning of the eyes, clicking of the jaw joints or the TMJ joints, along with stalking and hearing audio harassment. This is an organization that they really need to get in touch with. We're doing some research and we're organized. We have a medical committee. There's myself and another physician who I know is going to be probably calling in, Dr. Terry Robertson. We're going to be doing some studies through this organization that includes a very in-depth survey on exactly what is happening to these people, along with some urine testing for different neurotransmitter levels, to basically try to establish some criteria that will help us differentiate between, you know, who's a victim and of harassment and who's a victim of mental illness. Ultimately, to try to get a congressional hearing similar to the Rockefeller Commission to bring an end to this.
It's got to be difficult, John, though, for a doctor to try to ascertain if this person is truly mentally ill or if this bombardment is happening. And as you said, in that low percent, but I'm sure the doctor doesn't want to misdiagnose the guy.
Well, that's exactly it. And I think the other discriminator that physicians should be looking at is the stalking aspect. Virtually every one of these people that come forward with this is having a form of stalking. And if you have somebody come in that's having auditory delusions and feel like they're being attacked by something, and they do have evidence that their home's getting broken into and that they're being followed around, what we suggest to people is carry a digital camera around with you. If you're, you know, being followed by the same person all the time, take a picture. That way you have some proof, because that may be the one little item that you have to keep you out of psychiatric treatment that you don't need. And virtually every one of these victims is experiencing on-the-ground stalking along with the rest of the attack.
It's got to be some kind of a test of some sort, some kind of experiment, some kind of research that they're doing. Or they could probably, you know, get volunteers, don't you think?
Yeah, well, that's the problem with doing this with volunteers. Like you said, if it's research into seeing, you know, how far you can take someone before you break them psychiatrically, you're not going to be able to do that on volunteers. If someone knows if they know exactly where the voices are coming from and know exactly where the weapons are coming from when you start, that's really not going to put the fear and put them under the stress that you would be looking for to test if you're looking to break somebody. The other thing that leads us back to possibly experimentation, and probably experimentation, is if you look back and through time at all of our torture techniques depend on deprivation, sleep deprivation, social deprivation. It almost seems like this is geared to make the person appear delusional, get them discredited, get them to lose their job. Well, then they're sitting at home by themselves and strictly a guinea pig at that point. You're not having to track them. You're not having to stalk them, follow them around. You basically, you know, have a rat in a jar, for your attacks.
Here's a big question, though, John. Is this being done through government or is this being done through the shadow government?
I think it's probably the shadow government or what they call agency sterile operations, because we did identify who is accessing this technology in San Antonio, and it's these people all worked for the government in one form or fashion in the past, at least the leaders of it. Now, the people doing the stalking are often just criminals, kind of low-end, you know, societal people that they find that are more than willing to do their break-ins for a price. But it almost seems like it's the technology is being handed out to certain individuals, perpetrators, to use carte blanche on whoever they want to use, while the appropriate agencies that should be using this are sitting back and taking notes. And as it was explained to me by one of the CIA agents I talked to when he explained some of the technology, it is, he said, that we can do this, but it's a weapon of war for use abroad, is the way it was explained to me.
A weapon of war. I wonder how they would use that.
Oh, you can only imagine. Actually, if you look at in 1996 in the Army's addendum to the bioeffects of non-lethal weapons, which was released in Freedom of Information, they talk about microwave hearing. And one of the things they talk about is, and I quote, it says, imagine the effect on an enemy combatant when they begin to hear voices in their head that are not their own. And then they go on to tell how it's not recordable. You can put a probe in the ear. You can put probes on the scalp. You cannot record the sound that's being put into these people's heads. And they go on in that report to talk about its value in a hostage crisis, the ability of someone to communicate with the hostage taker without the hostage's hearing, or with the hostages without the hostage taker hearing. Newsweek article during the Branch Davidian crisis that we had here in Texas in Waco, I'm sure you remember.
Yes.
Newsweek did an article where the FBI had actually brought in the, I forget his name, a Russian scientist who worked on some of this technology. One of the things they wanted to try was to put voices in David Koresh's head using Charlton Heston as the voice of God to try to get him to think he was truly hearing God and give up. And, you know, and that, you know, that's funny, but this stuff really is going on, you know.
Now, let's talk about the type of technology that they have, that you think they have, that they're using. You mentioned satellites already. What else do you think they have?
Well, from what the people that I talked to, the weapons seem to be coming from satellites. Now, we mentioned HAARP. HAARP is an elf-wave generator. That's one of the things it does, is bounce elf-waves off the ionosphere. I know Nick Begich has talked about it, using it for mind control. I don't really see how HAARP can isolate individuals and attack individuals the way this is going on. That's one of the things we're doing a little more research into. Now, the other, I wouldn't call it weaponry, but the other things that we've actually seen in a lot of the victims is the low technology. If this is done in an incident for where it's mostly sexual assault of a woman, not only do you get the satellite imaging, the X-ray imaging, which allows for anatomically correct attacks, because they're seeing an X-ray image, so they know that they're attacking your face, or they're attacking your genitals, or they're attacking, you know, your eyes. But they're seeing an X-ray image. So if they're actually trying to video any type of sexual assault, they're going to need to break in and put, you know, regular cameras in. And that's also what we're seeing. There was several victims here in San Antonio that had people sitting outside their homes in addition to the advanced technologic attacks. And the people sitting outside their homes all night long were actually there, obviously, with receivers, because some of these people actually found cameras hidden in their hollow doors. One particular girl found an RF camera that had been intricately wired into a hollow door in her bedroom closet. Glued in, and then the pieces of wood on the veneer of the door were carefully glued back around. Jeez. Where the lens was in the center of the knot hole.
Sounds like a sick game, John, doesn't it?
Oh, it is, and there's, like I said, there's no way to escape a lot of it. In Texas, we have Greg Abbott, our attorney general, has a huge website on stalking and how we're cracking down on stalking. If you've been followed by the same person twice, get a hold of your local law enforcement if you're in fear for your life or your safety, that we're going to crack down on stalking. Well, that doesn't translate to local law enforcement.
No.
When you go and you tell them, I've got these guys following me around, they're standing by my door when I get home, they're standing at my car when I go to work. They may take you serious the first time if those people aren't around to be arrested or be talked to, which they won't be, because when the police are around, they're not going to be around. After your second or third complaint, they just stop coming. They stop listening to you and just write you off as a head case.
Or the Russian, by the way, was Dr. Igor Smirnov of the Moscow
Medical
Academy. And there was a Virginia-based company that they were going to try to work through to do that. We'll be back in a moment with Dr. John Hall, A New Breed, Satellite Terrorism in America, right here on Coast to Coast AM.